shame that he's gone. He's definitely, he was a trailblazer. And like, regardless of whether you like his music or not, you can, we can all agree that he was a trailblazer. Stuck in the Middle, the original version of the song, I hate it. It's not a good song. And I know my Uncle Craig would vehemently disagree with me.
This next one is our top song of the year. Mine is a country song. It's Heartache Medication by John Party.
My top song was by Waylon Jennings, and it's Good Old Boys, which is the theme, for those of you who don't know, from the Dukes of Hazzard.
So before we get into the top five, my top artist, how fitting for this show, Rooks and Dunn.
I think ultimately, I'm just going to go from the top down. My top artist, again, really shocked by this, is the organist Marie-Claire Alain. The guitar on this track was spot on. I think the lyrics, you can tell that Kix Brooks chipped in with this, and Kix Brooks does some really good singing, I think. The fact that it tells the story from both sides, like, you know, both people start the song and they're really down on each other. You know, they're both down in the dumps. They both have the case of the blues. And then ultimately, the song's chorus goes to saying, oh, well, why not? Let's make lemonade out of the lemons we've been given, which is basically doing some cheating on the blues. And I absolutely love this song because it's something that it's one of the songs that everybody knows. And just the impact that this song has, it's the first number one by an African-American country artist basically ever. It's not my favorite song by Brooks and Dunn by any stretch. I guess I never really understood it and why it was so popular, because it's kind of got this steel guitar sort of riff and you know a nice kind of slow ballady feel to it.
Yeah, and the interesting part was that when you heard, you know, by the time that song came out, Brooks and Dunn were, I guess you could call them megastars. They were, you know, you hear them on the radio, and Ronnie Dunn's voice at the time was the voice of Brooks and Dunn. When you heard him on the radio, there's no duplicating his voice. You knew it was Brooks and Dunn.
Nowadays, sometimes the music video doesn't really fit the song. And this music video tends to fit the song pretty well, I think. It was a good job.
I was going to say that as well. Yeah, the song goes very well with it. It has Kix Brooks, kind of the lead guy, in front of Ronnie Dunn most of the time, and he's jamming. And at the Swamp Fire Sessions, Cranford states, we banned it. We literally put signs up that said, absolutely no wagon wheel. The New England Americana Festival sells a shirt with an image of a wagon wheel with a line through it, creating a no wagon wheel zone. And hipster bar owners, ban it.
Okay, I got to say something about that. I will honestly, that's laughable. I don't understand that. That's like kind of the superstition of no stairway to heaven in a guitar store. I don't know why that is. And that's all I got for this song. I think I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. I think it's pretty good.
I love this song. Highly underrated. I've loved this album for a while, but honestly, this song I probably slept on this song. And number one, Ronnie Dunn's Jesse. Really like this song. I think it is clearly the most enjoyable song for me to listen to.
Number one is still the same one from my Kix Brooks review. It's The Last Rodeo.
And this might be your worst one as well. Wondering About the Wind. One song, but if I had to pick one, I think Cover Me Up.
I mean, I think, you know, you got to say Wondering About the Wind is definitely the worst song on this album. Although I got to say that Country As Shit and What You Think of Country Now do take a pretty close second and third, because I didn't really like those songs at all. Beer Don't is definitely my favorite non-single. I'd say it's going to be a close tie between More Than My Hometown and This Bar. Now, honestly, and I find it interesting that this song is a tribute to line dancing. And not only that, but it sparked a renewed interest in line dancing. Heel to toe and do-si-do, that's what the caller would be yelling at you. Like if you're visualizing you're dancing with your partner, I don't exactly know that much about line dancing, but I do know there's a guy who's like, while everybody's playing along and jamming, there's a guy who's yelling and saying like, you know, heel toe, do-si-do, swing your partner to and fro, something like that.
Sort of from him, because you, what you have is sort of a fusion of country and gospel music. But I think it sort of pays tribute to the sect of country music that is rooted in religion and you know, the country music faith and sort of stuff like that. And I that's my review of it. It's a great song.
I love this song. You know, I think a few years ago, I probably would have put this and John Deere Green in a similar category. Actually, I really love this song. Joe Diffie as an artist, no comparison between him and Brooks and Dunn. It wow. probably is actually my favorite all time. There's some other good wow. ones, definitely top five, but maybe. And I think that the two guys, Tristan being from Texas and Ronnie Dunn being from Oklahoma, you can tell that they just, that sound just goes so well together. And it sounds like, I don't want to say it sounds like an old Brooks and Dunn song.
But I think it's a, you know, basically everything you just said is just, you know, just looks like they're playing at a concert and just looks like everyone's just having a really good time. But I really like the song. It's like the best, you know, country wedding song. It's just like every time you listen to it, you just want to dance. And it's just a song that makes me feel good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I honestly, I would recommend this to everyone, not just people who like country music, not just people who know who Johnny Cash is, because this is an important piece of not only the history, the biography that of the memoir of Johnny Cash's life, but also it's an important piece of American history.
You know, I like it. It's kind of a, it's almost kind of dark, slow. Doesn't really use Ronnie Dunn or Pam Tillis much at all. Quite honestly, it could go without them. They're not really brought in a whole lot, but I like it. I mean, I think it's a good song, but this song, it's all in the movies. It was the title and the lead track to Merle Haggard and the Strangers 1976 album.
Mm-hmm.
The song released actually the year before in 1975, in September, as a single and went to number one on the charts, country charts. And the live version, which we're going to be comparing to, is the Ronnie Dunn version released this past December 2020 off the album Sing Me Back Home, the music of Merle Haggard live.
About this documentary, I think this was a long time coming. And, you know, he had teased this on Instagram. And I think what's so cool about him is he wasn't originally a singer or a rapper, like you said. He was more of like into a being a comedian, just being a goofy kind of dude. He was posting videos about being like just as he would say, a for lack of, sorry for the kids.
Oh, but now I gotta.
That's.
I gotta edit that out.
I know, but that's
trying to keep our sponsors. Trying to keep our anchor sponsors.
Yes.
So here's all the artists on this minute and 30 some second song. John Anderson, Toby Keith, Buddy Miller, Tanya Tucker, Jake Owen, Chris Jansen, Lucinda Williams, Ben Haggard, Aaron Lewis, Leonard Skinner, Hank Williams Jr., Bobby Bear, Dierks Bentley, Ronnie Dunn, which is kind of why we're even looking at this. Jamie Johnson, the Avett brothers, Miranda Lambert, Sheryl Crow, Willie Nelson, Kenny Chesney, Casey Musgraves, Keith Richards, Alabama. Interesting.
That's a lot of people.
Connie Smith, Billy Gibbons, Loretta Lynn, Warren Hayes, Rodney Crowell. Hey, our friend Rodney. And Teresa Haggard.
Oh my God.
Rodney makes it on here. So that's insane. I mean, to me, they ruined this. I think it's even though it's the most popular song on this little compilation live album, to me it sucks. I mean, like, I don't know why they would kind of take a great song and throw all of these artists on there. It you know, to me, it's like whenever you throw like a ton of artists together on one track. It just kind of all blends together. You know, you don't have those different sounds that each artist have. It just kind of all sounds the same.
Personal critique for me. I did singing a lot in high school, middle school, all that. Very difficult to hear some of the lyrics. Like he's saying, the meaningfulness, it's hard to understand what he's saying. Sometimes you can hear it in the beginning, him starting talking about some sort of phone call. And, you know, it's, I understand it's more of an upbeat, you know, you're just trying to dance, trying to party kind of song, you know, country rock. But I would like to hear a little more enunciation in the words. And so my mom married her husband Steve, and her daughter Tiffany, or sorry, his daughter Tiffany, married Alan Jackson's nephew. So it's Alan Jackson's sister's son is my stepsister's husband. So
it was less less confusing when we figured it out.
So
isn't it like your stepbrother?
So my stepsister's husband is Alan Jackson's nephew.
So when I heard it for the first time, for some reason it seemed like it was a classic, you know, it was a classical song, even though it was my first time hearing it. And it had like a very catchy tune. And I feel like David Lee Murphy captured like a sense of imagery with his own emotion in the song, which made it like super cool. And for some reason, if I could relate it to like another song, as far as what I've heard before, it kind of seems familiar to Sweet Home Alabama.
He's pretty much wanting to leave this woman unless she pretty much comes and stops him. I think it goes in really well with the rest of the songs. My Next Broken Heart, Cheating on the Blues, you know, all those types of songs, very similar to this one. I really like My Next Broken Heart, how it's very simple. And this one is as well. It's not, you know, this is a really good album. So this definitely is not near the top of my favorite ones on the album.
But one thing I noticed is that these songs where we have Kix Brooks on the lead, usually for me, they're good. I like them a lot. And, you know, one such example I'll give you is You're Gonna Miss Me When I'm Gone. I mean, that song just such a terrific song to me. And I love that song to death. And then there are other songs for me that are kind of fall flat. And I got to be honest with you, this is not one of my favorite songs. Just in terms of, there are strengths about Kix Brooks as a vocalist. And then there are other times I think he kind of struggles to carry a song by himself. And for me, this is just one such example. I mean, of course, you know, that's my opinion, obviously, because I've said it. But not my favorite song, I got to be honest with you. And huge campuses. And so a lot of the economy, I would say, in Knoxville is based around the University of Tennessee. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like, I don't think you can drive a mile or without running into something related to the university, you know, some property or some building or whatever. So I think that's pretty cool. I like the fact that the school has such a huge influence on the town. And I guess I call it a city, just because it's not, it's just cool. You know, you get big orange tea everywhere and you know, it's just, you know, it's neat. But on the other hand, I would say that one of the things I don't like about it is maybe Knoxville relies a little bit too much on the fact that it hosts the University of Tennessee.
And the chorus comes in. I don't really know how to describe the chorus a whole lot other than, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff that America is going to do to whoever has it coming. Really, it's just saying like Statue of Liberty shaking his fist, bells are ringing, and Mother Nature and all that good stuff is coming. Or Mother Freedom, forget exactly what it says. And then at the end of it says, brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
The number one for me is Neon Moon. Just one of the classic ballads of all time. I'm comfortable with saying it's top three for me all time. And maybe in the 90s, that was the all-time ballad.
And number one, Boot Scootin' Boogie. I love that song. So upbeat, kind of just got the line dancing back in style. And
I feel like the reason this song was as big as it was, and we have like a radio station here that just plays classic country, which it's sad to me that this song I grew up listening to is now classic country. I didn't think I was that old, but I think that it is so relatable to the type of like exactly who they were marketing to at that time. So, you know, blue collar, like working with your hands type of people.
I believe they won, it was a Grammy or a country music like Academy Award for 10,000 hours.
Oh, God.
With Justin Bieber, might I add.
Don't get me started.
You win an award.
That song.
A country music Grammy Award.
There is zero country about that.
Justin Bieber. It's okay. I like that song. It's a great song. It's not a country music song.
Not the worst song ever, but no, not a country.
It's not the worst song ever. It's a pop song. Come on. It's catchy. But like,
I've listened to worse songs. That's when I
saw you really feel. My goodness. Okay.
I don't know if it's Dan or Shay, but one of them looks like a hamster.
Oh,
that should be his nickname. Like how George Jones is Possum. Oh, that guy should be Hamster.
Okay.
Hamster and Shay or Hamster and Dan.
To tell you the truth, I think Florida Georgia Line is more country than these people are.
Completely.
Barely even country.
Okay. That's fair.
Charlie, completely agree. Yes. Completely agree with that. Yeah, Florida Georgia Line, I think, is, you know, they sort of look like half country. They talk kind of country, but then the sound is not very country. But then with Dan and Shay, that's like, this is to me the first group where they just say, you know, we're not gonna have country lyrics, we're not gonna look country, we're gonna look pop, we're gonna talk pop,
sound
pop. And we're gonna sound pop. And we're going to call ourselves country. It's the only
but only we're group. From Nashville.
So again, 10,000 hours? You've not heard 10,000 hours?
You know, if you played it, I'm sure I'd recognize it, but I don't seek these things out.
Here, give a little. No. You. I want to hear you. Little
it's
jingle.
Like, it's like a. Do you love the rain? Does it make you dance?
Oh, I was just talking about the chorus. I don't even know anything else.
Oh, it's like a. No, it's too high. I'd spend 10,000 hours.
Yeah,
you follow them, so their style may not be. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they're not trying to be country, but they're being played on country radio. Probably that's where the confusion 100%. Comes. They're playing their music, but yet they are country. So
well, they're being played. To tell you the truth, they're being played on literally every radio.
Are they?
Like as far away as Germany, Europe.
It's electronic.
Let me think. That's literally every song made by Brett Eldridge, and then possibly quite a few songs made by Dustin.
Do you have against Brett Eldridge?
No, I like Brett Eldridge.
The second time you've called out Brett Eldridge.
No. I don't have it. I actually really like Brett Eldridge's music.
Yeah, I've definitely heard Dan and Shay mostly on the radio. In stores and everything, and.
I just thought that the people dressed up and just sitting super still in the back was the funniest thing. That's what really stood out to me. It was like, who are all these people? Why are they here? And then also, I feel like their famous outfits. Like, I don't know. The Flames shirt really does it for me. That really gets me.
Country rocker. It's if you don't tap your foot to this song, something wrong there. It immediately prompts you to do that. And the lyrics, I love good lyrics. And there's some great lyrics in the song. Well written, very, very catchy. And it's, like I said, it's a rocker. It's really, you move. If you don't hit the dance floor on this one, it's a good song, very good song. Classic, and Ronnie Dunn's vocals.
Willie Nelson was approached on a flight by the executive producer of the movie, who requested him to write a song about life on the road to use as the theme song. Willie Nelson, it says, wrote the song on a barf bag. The tune featured a train beat. Barf bag. I've not heard that in a little while. That's kind of gross, but I pulled out this other quote. It says, "We're down to the worm in the bottle." And I looked it up, wasn't really sure what that means. It says that the worm is actually a larva from one of two moths known as some kind of worm.
I think it probably would have worked as a single because, I mean, a lot of guys like me, and then there's a gazillion of them out there that we've all gone through that. Break up, go to the bar, get hammered, you know, hello. It's kind of like a, a ritual or something, you know, and we've all been there, man. So it has a real universal theme. Let the Madness Begin was composed one night. A friend of mine who had a little, added a few chord changes, was composed one night under the influence of a Canadian club, a little bit of pot and a lot of cigarettes. And that's how that song came about. We were just hammered out of our skulls and we recorded it. And then I played it for my mentor. And he said, don't change nothing, man. We got to record it like this. I said, are you sure? Oh, yeah. Don't change nothing. She's in some honky-tonk tonight, I know. Dancing where the music's loud and the lights are low. In a crowded bar, she likes to hang around. And as long as there's a honky-tonk, she'll never settle down. I pulled into a roadhouse in Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dance. I'm gonna put a corner in that old jukebox and play that truck driving man.
I love the song. Like I said, I remember when you first played it for me, I instantly wanted to know what it was. I just don't know how you can listen to this and not like start tapping your toe or nodding your head. I remember after just listening to it for a few times, I picked up the lyrics so quickly.
Yeah, a lot of influence from Hank Williams, you know, one of his heartache songs, Cold, Cold Heart, Your Cheating Heart. So Lonesome, or I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Those were, you know, just a few of his more popular ones that I just thought of, that, you know, when it's saying like, it don't hide the pain in these eyes, that's, I'm sure they were thinking of an old Hank Williams song when they were writing this.
Overall, this is one of my top five from them. But the only thing is, like, when I heard Ronnie Dunn in that spot you were just talking about, I wanted to hear more of him, right? Because he's got that voice and he's got such a strong vocals, and I'm, oh yeah, there he is. But one thing that's always been, and I'm listening to it again in the last, like today, is they, when they use the fiddle or the violin in for the solo, I remember always thinking that was a really strange choice, that they could have used like a guitar in that solo.
Half the Man. That's my favorite one from it. You know, this one stands out, just real country kind of sound.
It's a dad. It's a, my dad, basically, like Half the Man.
I thought it might be your dad, but yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, you know, I can roll, we call the early mornings with the big old moon still in the sky. You know, we get up early with my dad. He drinks his cold coffee and he's out the door. You know, like that kind of stuff, right? Just memories of growing up. Yeah, that, no, I appreciate that, because that's definitely the, you know, again, the steel guitar, that kind of haunting steel guitar, almost like a mellow southern rock type of song, you know, that kind of thing. And that's really what the whole vibe we were trying to accomplish with that one, for sure. That one, the solo on that one is one I enjoy the most out of all the solos on that album.
And then it says the name of the song here, You've Broken the Speed of the Sound of Loneliness. Very interesting. The speed of sound of loneliness. Now, I don't know if you can really extrapolate that, or if that even really makes, maybe that doesn't even make any sense, but maybe it does. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. The speed of the sound of loneliness. These hills, these mountains, and it's got, it kind of zooms, pans, and it's got this grass, shows the famous Brooks and Dunn Longhorn, shows the earth, and then it's got this like spacey silver 3D looking longhorn comes at you from the earth, comes right at you. You know, he played the song and just did it really well. I think his voice fits the song very well. You know, he's got this, the storyteller, the grandfather with the grandchild sitting on the grandfather's lap. The Ronnie Dunn version, on the other hand, you know, Ronnie Dunn's, Tom's voice does, is no match for Ronnie Dunn, but I think Tom's voice, it goes really well for his version. My thoughts on the song, I think this is probably his best song. He's got some other good ones after this that are not quite as country sounding. I think this one's rugged and raw. It feels like every guy has been there.
Kind of leans a little, maybe a little more towards the traditional older country. It's really upbeat, super fun to dance to. And I don't, it gets, I know we'll talk about the concert, but it gets people going and like jumping up and down. And
I love the second verse, like you were saying. I'm more encapsulated with the first part of it, where he's like, guess I'll do a little wishful drinking, make a whiskey wish upon a star. I find that to be really exciting from a songwriter standpoint. Wishful drinking instead of wishful thinking, the play on words, using the star in the sky. Yeah, the song's called Old Hotel Rooms. I'm super excited about it. It was a simple song that I, for my job in construction, when I work in Columbus and Cincinnati, I have to get put up in hotels from Monday through Thursday. Room service call, checking me in again, asking me if I could use a little whiskey or gin. He knows I'm down, he saw it at the desk. He told me, son, I can see this day ain't in your best.
Anyone else notice that the 34 second length, there's this weird, like UFO looking circle that's just like kind of pulsating or whatever and kind of just traveling down the right hand side? I don't know if anyone saw that, but I never saw this when I was just casually watching. But when I was studying this for a little bit, taking a few notes, I saw that was really weird. I don't know what that was about. If that was, you know, Norm Macdonald had passed away recently, and I'm a huge Norm Macdonald fan. And actually, I found it here on Wikipedia. It says comedian Norm Macdonald was an avid Billy Joe Shaver fan and occasionally praises songwriting on his podcast, Norm Macdonald Live. In 2018, Shaver appeared as a guest on Macdonald's Netflix program, Norm Macdonald Has a Show. I'm in love with this song. I love it. I mean, this Ronnie Dunn, he's been on some great songs this year, some great songs. I mean, as far as Ronnie Dunn solo songs, not solo in the sense that he's the only one on them, but solo as in no Brooks and Dunn, he's had two of his best ones this year, Where the Neon Lies and then Jonesin. And it's called 15 Things You Should Know About Dating a Texas Woman. So that's a pretty good amount of things. None of them include anything to do with them not staying lonely long or anything relating to that at all. Producer Billy Sherrill introduced Jones to the song in 1978. But according to Sherrill, Jones himself said the singer hated the song when he first heard it. In Bob Allen's biography of the singer, Sherrill states, he thought it was too long, too sad, too depressing, and that nobody would ever play it. He hated the melody and wouldn't learn it. You know, my lyrical grade for this, dumb. I give it an F- maybe. Do not like it at all. Sorry, Deborah Allen or Bruce Chanel. Don't like it at all. Hate it, to be honest with you. Did not like it. But you know what? After listening to the original version, I would say that this is a good song. And I think it's good because it is a cover, and it's a lot better than the original version. I think it's a real old school kind of country Christmas sound, harmonic. First time hearing this version, and honestly, well, I listened to it two times through, and I really like it. It certainly is one of the best versions of this song, I'm sure, that you would find. However, I like the original version better. I really do. It's more of a country version. That out of all of the Brooks and Dunn songs that we have reviewed so far on here, this is the biggest fart that they have released. Considering it, I'm not sure if it's purely like the worst sounding song that we've reviewed on here, but considering they took a song that is so good and has been around for over 70 years and made it into a piece of crap, they should be ashamed of themselves. I mean,
but it's got that rockabilly. It's got that rockabilly Texas Western swing to it. Right at the beginning of the song, you hear the drums come in, and then you hear that electric guitar going. A lot of it reminded me, same style of George Strait, that Texas country sound that I just love. You're instantly pulled into this. Yes, Christmas Eve, my mom was really big at going to midnight mass. Christmas Day, of course, I always woke up at like 6 a.m. and mom's still asleep. But I'd have to wait, you know, on the couch. I would have to say George Strait. The song is called New Kid in Town. You know, we would go around the block and we would just stand outside people's door and sing. Some of them never even came to the door. Some would look out their window and watch. And it's cool, the people that you meet and just being in the Christmas spirit with everybody. So I'm yay with that. Yay. And this is what we did. It's called Flint Ridge. And they have the greatest Christmas displays you will ever see.